Please take your Bibles and turn with me at this time to the book of James, James chapter 5 and verses 13 through 16. We're continuing in our message series on praying for various things. And last week we looked at praying for forgiveness, and today we're looking at praying for healing. And this is a very sensitive topic because different Christians have different views on praying for healing, but also because illness creates such a serious burden in our lives. And whether it is you or a loved one who is fighting an illness, sickness brings so much pain and sorrow into our lives. And so we want to very sensitively approach this topic and see what God would tell us in His Word. We're going to be looking at a number of verses from the Scriptures. We'll start in this one from James chapter 5. There is an outline in your bulletin. If you'd like to take that out to follow along and see the various scriptures and points we'll be covering this morning. But right now, would you please stand for the reading of God's Word, James chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. James writes, "Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." This is the Word of God. Let us pray. Well, dear Lord, as we look at this new subject this morning, Lord, I just pray that you would grant us understanding from your word and that you would give us just a greater knowledge of how we can pray for our loved ones. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So we're talking about praying for healing this morning. When Jesus was on earth, he healed people. He healed people out of compassion for them. He healed them as a sign that the kingdom of heaven had drawn near in his person, that he was in fact the Messiah who was to come. And then Jesus also gave his apostles. He gave the apostles special powers to heal as they proclaimed that the kingdom of heaven was near. And we know from the Bible that God calls us to love and to pray for each other. And so we know that we also should pray for each other and to pray for healing for others and for ourselves. Remember the first thing we learned in this series, when we just did a general introduction, just praying for anything, things that apply no matter what, where we saw the Bible says you do not have because you do not ask. And many times we do not have healing because we did not pray for it. We also learned that when you pray in Jesus' name, when you pray for God's glory, when you pray according to God's will, when you pray in faith believing, when you pray in perseverance, those are the things we all looked at in our introduction, you will see many wonderful answers to prayer. We've seen so many wonderful answers to prayer for healing as a church, and Rosie and I can testify in our own family as well. Now, as we already mentioned, different Christians have different views on praying for healing, okay? So I want to start this morning with three facts that I believe all of us can agree on. We can all agree on these three facts, okay? Here we go. Fact number one, ready? Do Christians ever get sick? The answer is yes, okay? That's one we can all agree on. Christians do get sick in the world just like everyone else. Fact number two, does God sometimes heal? And the answer is yes, right? Absolutely yes. We know from examples in the Bible that that's true. We know from personal experience that, yes, when we get sick, yes, God does, in fact, sometimes heal. And now, fact number three. Does God always heal? And the answer is no. And this is the part where Christians sometimes disagree. But the one thing we can always agree on is that the answer is no, God does not always heal. Where do we disagree? We sometimes disagree on the reason why, right? On why God doesn't heal. But we all know that God doesn't always heal because there are sick Christians in the world, right? And there are sick Christians who even die from their illnesses. Now, there's also another sense. We're not going to be looking at this one so much this morning. There is the other sense that when we die, we go to heaven where we will never experience sickness again. So, yeah, in that sense, yes, God always heals in that sense, right? But does God always heal in this life? For whatever reason, the answer is no. So those are the three facts that we're trying to deal with this morning as we look at the Scriptures. Do Christians get sick? Yes. Does God sometimes heal? Yes. Does God always heal in this life? No. So what do we do with all that? What do we do with those facts? And how does it affect how we pray for healing? So first, if you're outlined, you can see we're starting point number one now. First, we need to see what does the Bible say about the relationship between sickness and sin. The relationship between sickness and sin. There are a lot of misunderstandings in this area, and so we have to be very careful how we approach this whole matter. And the first thing we can say about the relationship between sickness and sin is simply this, that sickness is a consequence of sin. Sickness is a consequence of sin. If there were no sin, guess what? There would be no sickness, right? It's a consequence. The Apostle Paul says this in Romans chapter 8. Paul says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit. So he's talking about believers here, right? Believers, Christians. We who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we also groan inwardly as we await eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. What's Paul saying here? He's saying that sin affects the whole creation, our bodies included, and that believers are not exempt. Sickness is a consequence of sin in the world. In fact, it's one of the many consequences of sin. Now, once again, we need to be careful here. Okay, listen to this next statement very carefully, okay? All sickness is a result of sin, but not every specific sickness is the result of a specific sin. Let me say that again. All sickness is a result of sin, but not every specific sickness is the result of a specific sin. In other words, all sickness is a result of sin in a general sense, in that we live in a fallen world. But we should not think that every time a person gets sick, it's because they committed a specific sin and God's zapping them for that sin. It's not the way it works. However, at the same time, we also must recognize that sometimes sickness is a direct result of a specific sin. For example, sometimes sickness can be part of God's discipline for sin. We read about that in the book of 1 Corinthians. The Corinthians were dishonoring Christ. They were failing to honor the body of Christ during communion. And so Paul tells them this in 1 Corinthians 11:30. He says, that's the reason, he says, Corinthians, that is why many among you are weak and sick. And a number of you have fallen asleep. Now, he's not talking about taking a nap there. He's saying some of them have actually died. God's discipline was that severe. And so, yes, sometimes sickness is a direct consequence of sin. Sometimes it's a part of God's discipline for sin. There are other ways that sickness can be a direct result of specific sins in our lives as well. For example, God tells us to take good care of our bodies. Now, sometimes people live in parts of the world where they can't do that, and so it's not a sin if they can't do that, but if we have the capability to do that, and we don't take good care of our bodies, that's sin. And so we make poor food choices, or we don't exercise, or we smoke, or we do other things that we know are harmful to our bodies. And many times, sickness is simply the accumulated results of unhealthy choices where we've not taken care of our bodies as God has directed us to. So that's the first thing we need to understand about the relationship between sickness and sin. Sickness is a general consequence of sin in the world. Not every specific sickness is a result of specific sin, but there are times when sickness can be the result of a specific sin. Now, the next thing we need to understand about this relationship between sickness and sin is that Jesus died specifically for sin, not for sickness. Jesus died specifically for sin, not for sickness. Now, there's a sense in which Jesus died for sickness. We're going to get to that in a moment. But the Bible is clear that Jesus died specifically for sin. Let me read you a couple scriptures. For example, we read in Isaiah 53, verse 5. It says, but he, speaking of Jesus, prophetically speaking of Christ, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. 1 Peter 2:24 says this, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Now, both of those verses say something about healing, right? We're going to get to that in just a moment. But first, notice, what do they say about sin? The Bible says that Jesus was wounded for our transgressions, that he was crushed for our iniquities, that he bore our sins in his body on the cross. And the primary emphasis in each of these verses, in fact, in the entire Bible, Old and New Testament, is on Jesus dying for sin, not for sickness. Think about the Old Testament sacrifices for a moment. All of the sacrifices in the Old Testament do what? They point forward to Christ's sacrifice for us on the cross. And all of the Old Testament sacrifices were sacrifices for sin. They were not sacrifices for illness or disease. So sickness and sin are related, but they're not the same. It's not a sin to be sick, right? You don't need to be forgiven for your illness. You need forgiveness for your sin. And so Jesus died on the cross specifically for sin, not for sickness. So you go, well, then why do these verses mention healing? Why does this keep coming up? By his wounds, you have been healed. That's because Jesus not only died for sin specifically, but Jesus also died to remove the consequences of sin. And as we've already seen, sickness is a consequence of sin. Jesus died to remove all the consequences of sin, which includes sickness as well as death and wars and natural disasters and other consequences. Now, once again, we live in a fallen world, which means that even as Christians, we also experience these consequences of sin, don't we? As Christians, we're not exempt from sickness or death or wars or natural disasters. As Christians, we are under God's special protection and care. And God, as our Heavenly Father, often intervenes in these areas, praise God, on our behalf and in answer to prayer. God loves us. He's with us in the midst of all of our trials. And one day we know God will remove all of these consequences forever. We read in Revelation 21, verse 4, one of the greatest verses in the Bible, there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. When Christ returns, that old order of things, that's gone, and God's new order will be established. And we will no longer live in a fallen world. We will live in a perfect world. And we will never have to deal with illness ever again. And so that's what the Bible tells us about the relationship between sickness and sin. Next, we want to see what does the Bible say about healing and forgiveness. Healing and forgiveness are often mentioned together in the Bible. For example, we read in Psalm 103. We read this earlier in the service. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. And so there you see forgiveness and healing mentioned side by side in the psalm, and it goes on about other benefits for those who belong to God. There's certainly a relationship between these two for them to be mentioned together, but once again, they're not quite the same thing. We also find forgiveness and healing mentioned together in various prayers for healing in the Bible. Let me share two of them with you. Psalm 41, verse 4. O Lord, have mercy on me. Heal me, for I've sinned against you. Mercy, forgiveness, healing, all in one prayer. Jeremiah 17, 14. Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved, for you are the one I praise. By the way, both of those prayers are right out of Scripture, and they are both excellent prayers that you can use as examples for praying, for healing, either for yourself or for others. Copy them down. Carry them with you. Pray them. It's God's Word. Healing and forgiveness are often mentioned together in the Bible because, remember, sickness is one of the main consequences of sin in the Bible. Now, last week we saw that as Christians we should pray for forgiveness, right? Well, as Christians we should also pray for healing. And we can do that because Jesus not only died for sin, he died to remove the consequences of sin. At the same time, we also need to understand there are some very important differences between healing and forgiveness, between praying for forgiveness and praying for healing. And I've listed four of them for you in your outline. Let me share those with you right now. First of all, when you pray for forgiveness, that forgiveness is always instantaneous, right? The moment you pray for forgiveness, when you put your faith in Christ and you ask for forgiveness, the moment you do that, you are immediately forgiven. There is no time delay between the asking for forgiveness and the receiving of forgiveness. However, we know that when we pray for healing, it's not always instantaneous, is it? Sometimes it is. It can be. But we know that healing is often delayed. Secondly, when you pray for forgiveness, you are always completely forgiven. God doesn't just forgive you part way. There's no such thing as partial forgiveness in Christ. However, when you pray for healing, we know that the healing is sometimes partial. Sometimes the answer comes as an improvement to your condition. And when that happens, we rightly say, thank you, God, you're answering our prayers. We see that as an answer to prayer, and we thank him. But we need to understand, unlike forgiveness, we are not always completely healed in this life. Thirdly, when you pray for forgiveness, your sins are forgiven permanently, right? There's never a time when you will not be forgiven in the future. It's not going to happen. God's not going to forgive you now and then take that back. However, when you pray for healing, the healing is sometimes temporary. Sometimes God heals for a season and the illness returns. When God heals you, it doesn't mean that you will never, ever get sick again. Even Lazarus died a second time after Jesus raised him from the dead. And then finally, when you pray for forgiveness, folks, it is guaranteed. Jesus has never said no to anyone coming to him for forgiveness. When you pray for forgiveness, that is a guarantee. But when you pray for healing, there are no guarantees because sometimes the healing is not granted. And we don't always know why, right? Sometimes, yeah, it may be a lack of faith. But you know what? We should never accuse someone of lack of faith just because they're ill or their loved one is ill. And we say, oh, well, you just didn't have enough faith or they'd be better by now. We can't do that, right? Because sometimes something else is going on there. Sometimes God has purposes that he wants to accomplish through your illness. Sometimes the answer is simply delayed. And you know what? Sometimes it's just time to go home to be with the Lord. If God always healed, no Christians would ever die. This is the world that we live in. It's all part of living in a fallen world. Now, does God want you to be sick? Of course not. Does God want you to suffer from war or natural disasters? Of course not. Does God want you to suffer at all? Of course not. And in a perfect world, God would not let his children go through any of these things. But we don't live in a perfect world. We live in a fallen world where we all experience the consequences of sin. And as Christians, we are not exempt from the consequences of sin just because we are saved. One day we will live in that perfect world. And then we will be free from all the consequences of sin, including sickness and death. So then, now with all of that background in place now, how do we pray for healing? Let me give you some instructions now in praying for healing from God's word. First of all, we need to understand that there are several ways that God heals in this world. And when we pray for healing, we should pray for all of them, okay? And I like to break it down this way. Once again, it's in your outline. There is natural healing, there is medical healing, and then there is miraculous healing. Now, some people like to call that third category divine healing. In other words, healing that comes from God. But I think all three are divine healing. All three ultimately come from God. So I like to use the word miraculous. So let's break this down. What is natural healing? Natural healing refers to the natural healing processes that God has already built into our bodies. Headaches go away. Broken bones mend. Wounds and cuts scab over and heal. Our bodies are amazing creations of God, and God has built these amazing powers of healing right into our bodies. And this is where a positive attitude comes into play as well. We all know that the attitude we bring into our illness can have an effect on the healing as well. That's because God has designed our bodies that way. We're one person, and our bodies and minds work together. That's why we find verses like this in Proverbs 17:22. In the Bible, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Natural healing refers to those natural healing processes that God has already built into our bodies. It's natural, but where does it come from? It still comes from God, doesn't it? Still comes from God. Next, there is medical healing. Natural healing is that from within your own body. Medical healing refers to assistance, assisted healing from other people. And so physicians and medical scientists study the body, and they develop medicines and procedures to help with healing. And once again, we have plenty of examples of medical healing in the Bible. For example, we read Paul's instructions to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:23. It says, Timothy, stop drinking only water and use a little wine because of your stomach and your frequent illnesses. Medical healing. And medical healing, this is also an important part of praying for healing. Yes, it's medical, but where does it come from? It comes from God. God who provides the doctors and the scientists with the knowledge and the skill and the materials they need to help provide the healing. And praise God, we live in a time of medical knowledge and expertise like no other in the history of the world, right? So there's natural healing, there's medical healing, and then there is miraculous healing. And miraculous healing is when God provides the healing directly, apart from doctors, apart from medicine, beyond what anyone could expect from the body's natural capacity to heal. And this miraculous healing can also be a matter of God just speeding up the time and processes that normally would be required for healing. And once again, we have many examples of miraculous healing in the Bible. I'll just give you one. Matthew 9:35, talking about Jesus. It says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. These were not natural healings. These were not medical healings. Jesus wasn't a doctor. Jesus healed people directly, miraculously, by the direct power of God. So we have three different types of healing. And yet they all come from the one God who is the giver of every good and perfect gift in life. So here's the thing now. When you pray for healing, okay, you don't need to pray for one type of healing over the other. When you pray for healing, you can pray for all three, because God is ultimately behind all the healing that we experience. Let me share with you an example of how I pray for healing for people. Probably not the best way. It's certainly not the only way. It's just what I've kind of arrived at over the years. So let's say I'm in the hospital with someone named David who has a bad infection. I would normally pray something like this. I would say, Dear Lord, I thank you for David. I thank you for David's life and your great love for him. And I pray for his healing, Lord. I pray that you would work in his body to bring the healing that he needs today. I pray for the doctors and the nurses who are tending to him, that you would give them great wisdom and skill in all of their decisions and all of their procedures this day. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would touch David's body even now with your power to heal. Thank you, God, for hearing our prayers. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. That's how I pray for healing. That's one way you can do it. And you notice, when we pray for healing, you don't have to choose one type of healing over the other. All healing comes from God. And so I just simply put it before God and let God heal as he chooses, however he chooses to do it. And then finally, we need to look at God's specific instructions for the church now, for the church when it comes to praying for healing. And these are the instructions in James chapter 5 that we started the message with. I want to go back there now, James chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. James writes, "Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed." And we find four specific instructions here, and so I want to take a look at each one in turn. First of all, the sick person, whoever they are, should call the elders of the church. Now, in our church, the elders are simply the pastors. And I want you to know this morning, if you are ever sick and in need of prayer, please call the church. And the pastors here, we will come and we will pray for you. Okay, that's part of what we do. It's part of what we're called to do by God's word. So first of all, the sick person calls the elders of the church. Secondly, the elders come and they pray over the person, anointing them with oil. And that, the people, when they first read that verse, they go, "What's this oil all about? Do you have to anoint with oil? Why would we do that?" Well, some people see the oil as symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Oil is often a symbol of the Holy Spirit in Scripture. Others see it as something that simply is meant to assist us in our faith, a visual. But either way, let me tell you, there's nothing magical about the oil, okay? It's not magic oil. Just as there's nothing magical about the water that we use in baptism. It's just something that God tells us to do. And so we do it. Thirdly, James says that the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. We saw this in our first message in the series on prayer, that when we pray, we must pray in faith, believing that the person who doubts, who doesn't believe, should not expect that they would receive anything in prayer. James says the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. Once again, it's not the oil. The oil is not magic, but it's a prayer of faith. And notice whose faith is being talked about here. It's not the sick person's faith. It's the elder's faith, right? You cannot blame a lack of healing on a lack of faith on the sick person's part. They already demonstrated faith in calling the church and calling the pastors, the elders. Now it's the elder's job to pray in faith. And James says, in response to the prayer of faith, the Lord will raise the person up. Now, that's resurrection language, isn't it? But it probably here just refers to raising them up from the sickness, perhaps literally raising them out of their sick bed. And notice who does that? It is the Lord who raises the person up. And so it's not the elders, it's not the oil, it's not even the prayer of faith that is ultimately responsible for the healing. It is the Lord. It's the Lord. Only God can heal. And then finally, if there is any sin connected to the illness, that sin must be confessed. Remember, we said some sickness is a direct result of sin. Sometimes it's a discipline of God for sin. And the implication here is if that's the case, that sin needs to be confessed in order for the healing to take place. So the question we all have is, right, is when we follow all these instructions, right, when we do it by the book, why doesn't God always heal? Because we've done this at this church. We follow these instructions. You know what? Sometimes God has healed. He's healed in beautiful and wonderful and miraculous ways, and we give praise to God. And sometimes we do all the same things, and God doesn't heal. We go, why is that? Well, there could be a variety of reasons. Sometimes it could be our faith, right? We don't want to let ourselves off the hook and say it's never a lack of faith. Sometimes we don't exercise enough faith. Sometimes we need to wait for God's timing. It's not God's timing to heal yet. Sometimes we need to trust God's greater will. Sometimes we need to confess sin. However, through it all, God has promised to be with us and to help us And God has promised to work all things for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. God is sovereign. Our job is simply to obey him in faith, to pray in faith believing, and then we trust him with the results. Jesus died for sin and to remove the consequences of sin. Sickness is one of those consequences that Jesus died to remove. God is also your heavenly Father. He loves you as his child. And so as Christians, we can come to God and we can pray confidently for healing, knowing that God will answer in his way, in his time. Sometimes he will heal miraculously and immediately. Sometimes God will use doctors and medicine to heal. Sometimes God will speed up the natural processes of healing he has already built into your body. Sometimes we just need to trust God while we wait for his answer. One day Christ will return, and these weak, fleshly bodies of ours that are so prone to sickness and injury and pain in this life, God has told us these bodies will be transformed into our new resurrection bodies that will never get sick again. And then we're going to be able to pray Psalm 103 in all of its glorious fullness. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that you are a God who heals. You are the giver of life and health. And Lord, however you choose to heal, we thank you for your healing power in our lives. Lord, once again, I thank you for the many miraculous answers to prayer for healing that we've seen. I thank you for the many people who've been healed through doctors and medicine. I thank you for the many people whom you've simply used the natural processes in their body, but you've brought them along and healed them as well. Lord, all healing comes from you, and so we come to you, asking in faith, believing. For you are our Heavenly Father, and you have promised to meet all our needs in Jesus Christ, your Son. It is in his name we pray. Amen.